That's Dan Kern. That's the second song that he sent in to play.
I think I like that one even better.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that one even better. It's just that intro kind of reminded me of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, yeah.
Who I love. You know, you're definitely going in the right. Well, I think I like about it is I can understand the words.
Yeah, there's
that helps.
I like that too.
Yeah.
George Thorogood sitting in with us. He helped us decide if Dan could stay or go, and the audience voted unanimous stay for Dan Kern. You can also go online, HeidiandFrank.com, and keep voting for Dan if you want him to stay or go. He just might play Sogfest. Now, we ask Dan like what he does on an everyday basis to make money, and he became a divorce attorney. Back before in 1977, when you put out your first album, your job, the plan B for George Thorogood in case it didn't work out.
Well, George Thorogood in 1977 was doing what?
Well, you know, I figured, already Rodney Dangerfield beat me to it. You know, he was already there.
Hey,
you know?
I tell you, huh?
Exactly.
I looked at the
world of the great comics in the world, and I said, you know, this is it. This is as funny as I'm going to get. Now, there was no plan B. Sometimes I think that can inspire you even more.
This is all I can do. It has to work.
Exactly. I always knew that from day one. This is all I know. This is all I can do. So I came to the point in my life and just said, if I can make a living at it. You know, like anybody else doing it, I don't care what level.
You don't
level,
need a mansion on a hill. You
what
just want
level
to be able
it
pay
takes
bills.
Me to is, you know, that's beside the point. The point is to make a living doing it, because this is all I know what to do. And, you know, there's 750 people in the big leagues right now. Did you know that? That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Somebody's got a bat knife. They all can't be Babe Ruth.
Right.
You know, and I started getting realistic and say, no, I want to make a living doing this. I'm going to do the best I can to the ability I have, whatever that ability is. And that's going to take me to KLOS critiquing the next rock superstar.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
You know, so here I am.
It worked out okay for you.
George Thorogood hanging out
with
us.
Well, I can't deny the fact that we got a little bit of help from radio. That doesn't.
Radio's pretty powerful.
Bourbon, scotch, and beer is still being played, and it was started in 77.
Oh yeah,
and it's still being played on the radio. So you know, when that happened, I said, "Holy smokes!" I thought I'd make it, but I think I was going to make it. Yeah,
yeah. We were offering, like water or whatever we have in the green room. It's like, you know, to George, it's like whatever. He's like, bring it all, and he starts telling the story about Tom Jones, where Tom Jones probably didn't have a backup plan either to go back working in a coal mine. The story about Tom.
Yeah, I could see it, and I've met Mr. Jones on a couple of occasions. But you can see when he performs, there's still that thing in his psyche, his attitude about where he came from, about. I don't want to say it's fear, but he pushes. Say that's from whence I came, and I'm not a coal miner. I'm a singer, and McCartney was still that way. As big as he is, I could still see that hunger in his eyes to really deliver. B.B. King is like that, but Tom Jones really got that from him. When you talk to him, it's like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to fight for it.
Right.
I fought my way. I fought my way to get to this point, and I'm going to hold on.
Not resting on his laurels.
When he's stealing your fruit basket out of your dressing room. He's like, hey, you need this fruit?
What, did he steal fruit out of your
room? No, he didn't. Not from me.
Okay.
I'll give it to him for free. Yeah.
You can have it, Tom.
No, you're saying Tom was notorious for just like, you know, what do you got in here? And just be like, oh, I'll take it. Like that West Virginia, you know, coal miner mentality is like, I'll take all this stuff.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Dustin Hoffman once said, well, if it's free, I ain't stealing it.
That's true.
And I'll just take it.
You were also telling us, like, with some backup plans. Obviously, Tom Jones didn't have a backup plan, but you were talking about James Brown. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that he started out as a professional baseball player.
Well, he wasn't professional yet. He was pitching, like, in the semi-pros, and he got an offer from the Cincinnati Reds. And he was very good left-handed. He was a southpaw, a pretty good fastball. And when the scouts approached him, supposedly, according to him, he was out celebrating in a nightclub and decided to go up and sing a couple of tunes. And the response he got from singing, especially from women, he said, that was the end of my baseball career.
So he had a contract with the Reds on the table. And then went up
not, not he what, that he wasn't good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
He just said, nah, I'm going.
Instead of having men admire me for my baseball skills, he's like, I'll take the ladies swooning over me.
There you have it.
I can't even picture that. I can't picture James Brown in a Cincinnati Reds uniform.
I can see him being a reliever. And
he comes in
with the cape on.
He even gave me a demonstration. He showed me his move.
Really?
He was doing a television show in England. He even showed me his his sling right. and his pickoff and his, you know, his delivery.
How
and everything.
Funny.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Every time there was a questionable ball strike, he's like, yeah! That was a strike.
When they were asking if he wanted to stay in the game or they wanted to pull him, no, I feel good.
No, your arm's getting tired. Come on, get out.
That's great trivia. I had no idea.
You also mentioned when we were talking to Dan about, when somebody gets up in the middle of your act and walks out and keep pushing forward through that. I mean, like when you were starting out, were you ever behind the chicken wire like in Blues Brothers and people throwing bottles? I mean, did you ever have that experience as an artist on stage?
My experiences on stage as far as bad experiences go at some point, you will never see anybody as creative as me, as the stories I could tell you. And the laughs I have when I hear people tell me the stories of what they did. I was a street musician at one time in San Francisco, and I ran into this very talented musician, and he said, oh, I used to play on the streets too. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, I had a street band. And I was like, well, I did that in San Francisco for a while. You know, it's not the best life in the world. And he goes, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I said, it was fun. and he goes, yeah, it was. I played on my college breaks. And I went, that's nice.
Yeah. Nice. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
How long did you do that on the street?
Too long.
Oh, yeah?
It was about 3 months, maybe.
And so what would have been a good, as far as money goes, what would have been a good day for a young George Thorogood?
Eating.
Oh, my God,
eating.
George.
If you got enough to eat. Matter of fact, we had street musicians in San Francisco, and there was a place we'd meet that night.
Yeah.
And you'd play three songs, and they'd pass the hat. And that day, everybody would say, how did you do today? Like, I played on Union Square. I played in Ghirardelli Square. I played here. I played there. And someone would say, well, how did you do? And I swear to God, here was the code of the day. One of them would say, I ate today. And all of us would like huddle around.
Superstar.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they'd go, well,
it was. Slow it down.
Yeah, slow it down. Every detail. What kind of bread?
Oh, my God.
You had lettuce and tomato.
Can I smell your bread?
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you. It was down to that.
Oh, George Thorogood hanging out with us. Yeah. Like when you said your first album came out in 1977, but it says here that you gained like first mainstream exposure as a support act for the Rolling Stones during their 81 tour. And I just took my 9-year-old son to the 50 and Counting at Staples Center because I was like, this is the Rolling Stones. And I saw what was great about it. I saw a lot of parents who were taking their young children. I took a 9-year-old. I saw somebody even younger going, you need to see this. And I think that's where, I mean, like as far as like, your experience, like they influenced you so much to even get into this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And so, yeah, like a lot of people. Yeah.
I mean, just me. And to watch, Mick on stage, and he's what, 69 years old, and he was like, getting the crowd into it, okay? And he's running around, voice is perfect, and he's up there, and he's got his hands in there, and I'm clapping along with him. Mm-hmm. I'm getting tired just clapping along with him. And here's this guy running around the stage, still kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's great to see, and I think it's a parent's responsibility to introduce. Children too, Rolling Stones, George Thorogood. I mean, this is the music they should love instead of that auto tune. Like you said, there's two types of music. What was that quote from
the blues and
all that BS they play on MTV?
Yeah.
Music now really blows.
It's awful. Listen, George Thorogood, Rolling Stones, it's proven. This is going to be around 20, 30 years, 40 years from now. The stuff that's popular today isn't auto tune stuff is not going to be around 40 years from now. Just not.
Well, I listen to rock classic radio a lot, okay? And I listened to it before it was rock classic radio. Mm-hmm. I listened to Steve Miller's first album. I listened to Creedence's first album.
Right.
Okay, so I heard all this stuff, and now what you people play. And then I've had people in interviews say, well, why do you just listen to that? You only listen to that stuff. And I go, did you ever wonder why?
Yeah. My God, this is bad now. I encourage everybody who is a parent to take their kid to the Doheny Blues Festival to actually experience what music is supposed to sound like as opposed to that stuff that they're driving to school every day and it's auto-tuned and everything else is just crap. The Doheny Blues Festival at Doheny State Beach is this weekend, May 18th and 19th. Tickets are still available for the Blues Festival. Go to DoheneyBluesFestival.com. You can go to 95.5KLOS.com, type in the keyword blues, and you were going to be out there on the Sunday part of it, playing with George Thorogood and the Destroyers. And then on Saturday, Ben Harper and Charlie Musselwhite, Charlie Musselwhite helped you on your...
2127 Michigan Avenue. Yeah. He played on My Babe, the Little Water Cut. Yeah, Charlie's one of the... He was one of the last early people that I listened to. Like when I was in school, I got the Butterfield album. the Muscle White album, the Canned Heat album, and was checking these cats out that were bringing the blues to my attention.
Yeah.
As the Rolling Stones were. This was pre I Can't Get No Satisfaction, before, when they were pretty much a blues cover band.
Mm-hmm.
And they were experimenting with originals, and then they hit it with Satisfaction. They became a super rock band after that. But prior to that, Muscle White was one of those people. He's got this incredible instrumental he does called Chris Stormendendor, I think it's called. It's on his first album. One was tear-jerking instrumental with an organ and harmonica
really?
In a minor key.
I want to hear it. I love to
Chris Stormendendor, I think is what it's called.
Look that up, Eric.
You got to hear this tune. I mean, it's
goosebumps.
Not many people can play a harmonica in a minor key. You know, that's just – I don't know how he does it. You know, some people that are pure genius can't explain what they do. They just do it.
They couldn't even show somebody.
They just do it. And Charlie's one of those people.
George, thank you so much for coming in. Now that you've actually been on the show a couple of times, you know it's an open door policy.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Anytime you want to come back. Definitely go to both days if you're going to go to the Don't Eat Blues Festival. Go see, you know, Ben Harper and Charlie Muscle White. And then on Saturday, then on Sunday, George Thorogood's going to be out there. And a lot of, I mean, other phenomenal musicians. And take your kids and show them what music's supposed to be. All right. George, thank you. Anytime.
Okay. Our pleasure.
1-800-955-5567 is the number. We're going to come right back. We are Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these. And to get the entire Heidi and Frank show, go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.